You are my friends if you do what I command you, and my commandment is this: love one another as I have loved you. Summary of the gospel. This week I was captivated by an image of the Hubble Space Telescope and this extraordinary rescue mission that they're doing. It almost didn't happen, you know. And the fact that they're putting eight new gyroscopes in this thing. I know a gyroscope spins and gives you direction, but I don't really know how it works. And I don't know how you put a thing like that in a telescope that's way up in space. But I do know that it was down to about one really functioning gyroscope. And if the gyroscope doesn't work, you may have a $1 billion telescope, but it won't go where you want it to go, and it's useless to the astronomers. So this is a good update. I think the Hubble Space Telescope is probably the crowning achievement of the U.S. space program, even more than putting someone on the moon. And it struck me that we also need to have a functioning gyroscope within us in the spiritual life, don't we? Something that keeps us pointed in the right direction, because there's all sorts of temptations and voices that can lead us astray. And so every so often, we have to get our gyroscope calibrated to get us back on track for the kingdom of heaven, right? Straight down the aisle. And the two pillars by which we guide ourselves and correct our gyroscope are love of God and love of neighbor. To love to the death as Christ himself did. He invites us into the mystery of his own friendship. And so if we follow these guidelines, we will not go astray. We will not find ourselves headed in the wrong direction or going off a cliff or following the wrong voice. It's interesting that our Lord says, I call you friends. I can't imagine a greater compliment or a greater thing to have than to walk with the Lord as a friend. You know, just imagine the Lord God wants you to be his friend and called you to come to Mass here today. You think you chose him. He chose you to be here. It's a great mystery. And to go out and bear fruit. The fruit that will last is if we love. It's very interesting because when you look at the Bible, it begins, of course, with Genesis and the walk in the garden. And our Lord walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. Last night was a great evening to walk, you know, so warm and so rare at this time of year. And you can imagine walking with the Lord while he converses with you and tells you everything that you want to know. Can you imagine a greater gift than that? I can't wait for this. But Adam and Eve did not stay in the garden, did they? What did they do that caused them to get thrown out? Huh?
They disobeyed.
They disobeyed. Somebody said they ate an apple. Well, I challenge you to find an apple in the book of Genesis. But they ate the forbidden fruit. They disobeyed the commandments and they got thrown out. So our Lord says, I want to restore in your heart a place where you and I can walk in friendship. And the way it happens is if you follow my commandments. And since we all break them on a regular basis, he set up a great and wonderful sacrament where we can be restored sacramentally to that beautiful walk of grace. And it's an image of heaven. And we're all walking and hoping and waiting in faith for that moment. And our Lord says, I have told you everything. Now, he hasn't told us everything in this world. He hasn't explained the mysteries of the universe to us. He has not explained even what's going to happen in the future of our lives or what heaven is like. But he has told us everything that is essential for our lives on earth, if only we will listen to him. It's all in the Bible, if only we listen. Others purport to tell us everything, but in fact they have agendas. And we have to be able to discern what is God's voice, what is of God, and what is not. And we can always use those twin pillars to discern what's going on in our lives and in the world. If we're oriented on Christ, we'll be able to see almost everything in terms of what is good and what is evil by following the commandments and being obedient to him. We don't have to go far to find examples of people that have led us astray. I think of people in this country who I remember seeing these commercials on television a few years ago, teaching people how to flip homes as if prices would never go down. Remember the idea that we're in a new paradigm? And now these people are foreclosed because they listened to the wrong voice. They were not told everything, or they didn't listen. How many in this country got involved in investments they didn't understand? They heard the disclosure that the past may not guarantee the future, but they did not understand, or they weren't told adequately, and suddenly they find themselves in trouble. There are a couple of other interesting things that happened this week that I want to bring up. One is a movie that just opened this week. Anybody want to guess what it is? You got it. Yeah. Star Trek. All right. I'm an original Trekkie. I have to admit, I saw it with Father Tim on Monday, Queen of Peace. I don't like the Kirk in it, but everything else is pretty good. I want to talk about angels and demons. I could give the whole sermon on this, but I'm not going to. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I have not seen the movie. I don't intend to. But if you have seen the movie, I don't recommend you do. Why should you give money to people who are so blatantly anti-Christian and anti-Catholic? I can't imagine. A very interesting story on the Catholic League's website. There is a priest, I believe from this country, who was in Rome at the time they were filming this movie, and he dressed in civilian clothes and got himself, he started wandering around with the filming crew as they went from site to site. And after a couple of days, they got used to him being there. And towards the end of his time with them, he asked one of the directors, how do you guys really feel about the Catholic Church? And that director said, this is on the website, he said, most of us here, the actors and the crew, and most of Hollywood, feel the same way that Dan Brown does, that we would do anything we could to destroy the detestable Roman Catholic Church. So there's the hidden agenda. I didn't need to hear that to know it. Unfortunately, many people who want to believe this are going to think this is the way the Catholic Church is. And I was talking to somebody after Mass who told me that we Catholics are becoming the Jews of the 1930s. You watch. They're setting the stage for an open persecution of our faith. And the reason for that is because we have moral values. Yes, we're a church full of sinners. They never stop pointing that out. We're also forgiven. But we hold fast to those principles. We tell the world that, yes, there are supposed to be limits to our behaviors. Just real briefly, the theme of that movie is that the Catholic Church is opposed to science and truth. They bring out the old things about Galileo. Yes, we made a mistake with Galileo, but it's filled with all sorts of lies. If you see the movie, go on the Catholic League's website, Catholic League, just type that in the Google, and it'll give you 8 or 9 pages, single-spaced, of all the distortions and lies in that movie. And then they say, oh, it's just a movie, that's all it is. And yet, they on their trailers and stuff, they say, you know, there's a lot of secret knowledge here. A lot of it's true. Actually, they're the ones with the hidden agenda. You know, Christ tells us, I have told you everything. I called you by name. I have told you I'm going to give you a cross, but that will be your glory. I'm not going to hide anything from you. The Catholic Church actually is one of the main reasons that science developed in the West. The modern university system was founded by the Catholic Church. Did you know that? Did you know that every one of the sciences was either founded by a Catholic, many of them priests, or have very prominent people in it? I could go on for an hour. I'm going to do a Faith 101 on this. I've got a whole shelf full of books on this subject. Very interesting. The one I always think of in this century, just to give you one name, there are many others, is Father, I believe it's Lamoureux. He was the discoverer of the Big Bang Theory. He was a Catholic priest. Bet you didn't know that. The father of modern genetics was Gregor Mendel, was a brother in the Catholic Church. It goes on and on. We've made a couple of mistakes. Don't tell me science hasn't made a few. We will see through all this baloney if we're keeping those twin pillars as we discern who's the one who doesn't love God and our neighbor. There's another current event that I want to bring up in this homily. You're probably wondering if I'm going to bring it up, huh? What's happening today? Or happened, I suppose, by now. Notre Dame. Oh, my gosh. Notre Dame. I want to preach for a moment about the president of Notre Dame. Had you going there for a minute, didn't I? You know, our current president, I have to say that the Catholic Church teaches a consistent and whole ethic of life. It includes a lot more than the unborn. It includes everything from no torture, which to this president's credit, he cut off. As an American, I was ashamed of that. Working with the poor. The church is the largest ministry of AIDS in Africa by far. Did you know that? There's just a whole list of pro-life things. Everything from euthanasia, care for the elderly, social justice. This president, however, in my book, gets a zero for the unborn, obviously. But I can't blame President Obama. He ran on this platform. He gave full disclosure, didn't he? He told us what he was going to do before he was elected. However, and I don't blame him for going and accepting the award. It's not his fault that he was offered this doctoral award. But why did President Father Jenkins offer that to him when it is the explicit instructions of the Vatican and the U.S. Catholic bishops that when somebody is in a very major area, politician or not, diametrically opposed to a fundamental truth of our faith, they should not be given awards and degrees of higher education as honorifics. And Father Jenkins, which he knew that full well, basically took his two fingers and poked them right in the eyes of all the bishops and said, I don't care. I was thinking this week about this. You know, I had a rather long career with an airline, and when I was wearing that uniform, that so to speak, I may not have agreed with all their policies, but by gosh, you know, I had to speak the company line. And most of you understand this, don't you? I'd have been fired, and rightfully so. And I think that Father Jenkins ought to be fired, and that's my opinion. Why is it that someone can wear the Roman collar and yet say whatever they want? God is not pleased with this. It doesn't uphold the twin pillars of love of God, love of neighbor, and obedience to lawful authority, who happen to be right in this case. I think our Lord gives us a tremendous gift of discernment in this gospel today. He says, throughout your lives, when you are trying to discern right from wrong, and most of these are small decisions we make every day, when you are trying to discern, is this a loving thing to say? Is this a loving thing to do? Is this person speaking? Is God speaking through this person? Is this action of someone else's, of God? We can pull out those twin gyroscopes, love of God and love of neighbor. If we keep these in front of us, we will be steered in the right direction. The Lord will walk with us as a friend in the garden of our souls, and at the end of time, he will walk with us forever.